Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, continuing my all-star lineup for this week. Monday, we had Joaquin Agopian. Today, we have John Kaminsky. And Friday, we have Jack Mullen. I begin with Israeli bombing of the Baptist Hospital in Gaza. The number of dead is approaching 1,000. An IDF shill actually announced it was going to happen. Here it is, breaking. This is Hanya Naftali. Breaking, Israeli Air Force struck a Hamas terrorist base inside a hospital in Gaza. A multiple number of terrorists are dead. It's heartbreaking that Hamas is launching rockets from hospitals, mosques, schools, and using civilians as human shields. That's, of course, the Israeli way. He deleted this tweet. Here's censored man asking, why did you delete your initial tweet? You've already confirmed that Netanyahu has put you on an official Israeli task force to control the narrative online. This means you get information from Israeli sources before the media does. Meanwhile, cover up. Israel deletes video they claim showed Islamic Jihad rocket hitting a hospital. Sound analysis suggests Israel used powerful JDAM missile. We even have the video of it. Listen carefully to the sound. I have it on my Twitter account at Jim Fetzer. Listen to this. This is the sound of a Hamas missile. This is the JDAM supplied by the United States. Taking out the hospital. Same sound as JDAM, not a missile, cannot be a Hamas. Also means it was targeted. Now, the U.S. has gone into full-blown propaganda mode, even bringing Biden over, but I fear it may be too late. As Turner has reported, Hal Turner, a black plague was written over the Rezavi shrine. Islam is going for all-out war with a bombing of the Al-Ali Baptist Hospital in Gaza, which killed over 500. As I say now, it's approaching 1,000. Being blamed on Israel and the U.S., it was a system we gave to Israel. The black plague has risen on the Rezavi shrine in Mashhad, Khorasan province, Iran. This is the Islamic scripture. When the black flags come from Khorasan, go to them, even if you have to crawl on snow. For among them is a Khalafi from Allah, the Mahdi. The image is a workman raising the black flag. As far as I know, this is Hal Turner. This is a sign of alert to the people of Iran that the coming days may be hard. Prepare to fight in any circumstances. Even the president of Iran has spoken of it. The flames of the U.S.-Israeli bombs dropped tonight on innocent Palestinians being treated for injuries in Gaza's hospital will soon engulf the Zionists. No free human being silence is permissible. So far, the governments of Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Palestine, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, and Qatar have all blamed the Israeli Air Force for the explosion at the hospital, which is, of course, 100% appropriate because they did it. We got Biden, however, being brought over as a puppet. This is like hiding behind a woman's skirt. The Israelis know they've overdone it. They know the world is enraged. They needed a cooling off. They brought in Biden as a puppet. He said Wednesday, this is today, Israel had agreed to allow humanitarian assistance to begin flowing into Gaza from Egypt with the understanding it would be subject to inspection that it should go to civilians and not Hamas militants. Notice, they have not undertaken the ground invasion where all hell is going to break out. Let me be clear, Biden said. If Hamas diverts or steals the assistance, they will have demonstrated once again they have no concern for the welfare of the Palestinian people. How absurd is that? Liar, liar, bank on fire, pants on fire. What else would we expect from the United States and its puppet president? What else would we expect? Well, are we getting interference here, Mitchell? I'm kind of surprised. Meanwhile, he's claiming that, according to U.S. intel, this was a Hamas missile that went astray. He's claiming we will continue to have Israel's back as you work to defend your people. Netanyahu also, of course, said Israel was not to blame for the hospital attack. But it's complete bullshit. They went a bridge too far. I believe the consequences are going to be immense. John, I know you're not fooled by any of this happy horseshit propaganda coming from Bibi or Biden. Give us your thoughts about these latest developments in Israel.
First of all, that was my phone that was ringing. I forgot to shut it off. That was the sound that came just then. Where do I start? I started out, I've been continuing for the last couple of days to be really focused on Israel, but I'm more worried about America right now because I'm so ashamed of what the politicians and especially the Jews and the media are saying about Gaza. And it's like the entire rest of the world knows that Israel can't be trusted with anything. And now that extends to the United States, where whatever they say is a self-serving lie, and they fail to regard all people as being equal. I mean, the Palestinians are just cattle. And I fear that, in fact, I know that what's happening in Palestine is going to be happening in America very soon. It might not be quite that graphic, but it's going to have the same impact, where there is no room for appeal, nobody to help us, and no politician to be believed. I started out the other day, I was so embarrassed by Anthony Blinken going to it, when he went to Israel a couple of days ago, when he said, "I'm not here as the American Secretary of State, I'm here as a Jew." And I thought to myself, well, that's treason right there. And so many American politicians, especially Ron DeSantis, is committing treason. He's not a citizen of America, he's a citizen of Israel. And so we have no hope of avoiding the approbation of the rest of the world, who is all lined up against us and lined up with Russia and China. And it's like, it's almost as if in Biden's entire term, he has been deliberately trying to destroy the United States. Every single move he's made, from the from the blowing up of the food processing plants to the immolation, the disappearance of 2,000 students in Hawaii, it's like it's all been to destroy the country. And he's doing a fantastic job. He has the media on his side. They've enlisted the doctors to kill people deliberately for money. And so we're in big trouble in America. It's terrible what's happening to the Palestinians, but still Americans don't wake up. It's a very frightening situation.
Well, needless to say, I agree 100%. I mean, the Biden admin has come in, and the reason they had to deny Trump is that he would have defended America. He had already secured the border. They've opened the border. The travesties at our border, John, are just mind-boggling. They're giving these illegal $2,200 a month. They're giving them food. They're giving them housing. They're giving them green cards. The red carpet here is outrageous. And of course, you got Biden, a complete puppet. We have an Israeli occupied Congress. We all know about the pledge, where every new member of Congress is asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of that of the United States. I mean, it is stunning. What's going on here?
We've lost our freedom of speech. We've lost our freedom of speech, and we can't get it back unless we are able to challenge the ironclad control of Jews over every aspect of our lives, financial, political, medical, legal. I've been saying this constantly for the past 20 years, and the hurdles that both of us have had to go through to, like, mince our words to be able to avoid being cut off from public dialogue is just incredible. So in one sense, this terrible crime being committed by Israel, which has been going on for 70 years, it has opened up an opportunity for us to see just how demented and insincere our leaders have been. There's nobody in Congress saying what we're saying. They're saying, oh, we have to support Israel. Well, that's not what they're really saying. What they're really saying is we have to keep our supply of Jewish financial contributions open, or else they're going to run us out of Congress, which is a true story. So it's like we've lost our freedom of speech. And in order to get it back, we have to identify what the Jews have done to our country for the past 100 years, which has evolved now into a situation where we're just about to be destroyed. They're going to finish us off. They're going to take all our money. We've imported these 5 million healthy young men who have been given credit cards and hotel rooms and are able to pick their choice of city where they can fly to, and apparently are all hooked up in some sort of scheme to obliterate the American people on command. That's what I think.
Well, John, as I previously reported, we had federal agencies that have nothing to do with law enforcement or the military, like the EPA and the IRS, purchasing $1 billion worth of military equipment. Now, I believe those are stashed around the country, and that these coming in, these incoming young fit military men have been given cell phones where they can locate the weapons to be used against America. I see it coming clear as day.
America is controlled by a foreign power, and that power is Jewish. It's on television. It's in the banks. It's in the Congress. It's in the doctors. And we really have nowhere to turn. So what's going on now is an exercise in what we're going to see here. It's perhaps not going to be the same thing. I don't think we're going to be bombed, but we're going to be murdered. And it's like people still can't wake up, even though Max Eigen and Gary Barnett and the usual suspects are really articulating what's going on. And on the internet, there is a consciousness of what's about to happen to us. But I still think the vast majority of the people who watch television have no idea about any of this. They have no idea about COVID yet. And it's like we're sitting ducks, and it's like we can yell as loud as we want, but we're not getting through because Jews control the media and they're blocking us from delivering the message to the people who need it. Once they get that message, what do we do? Do we have to seduce law enforcement to be on our side? I think it's a very small percentage of cops and certainly not federal law enforcement. I mean, that's become totally corrupt, putting all these people in jail for just trying to be patriots.
Yeah, and of course, they've gone woke with the military, and now the young Southern boys are very patriotic that have in the past made up the core of our military. Don't want to be taking showers with trannies. I mean, the whole thing is about as absurd as it gets. They know that American soldiers will not fire on the American people. So I'm convinced they're going to fill it with illegals. They're going to promise them citizenship, and they will be willing to shoot Americans dead in the street.
That's basically what's happened in Palestine, the kids in Israeli schools, I saw a video of this yesterday, the kids in Israeli schools are taught to really hate the Palestinians, call them animals and all the rest of the basic Jewish shtick to demonize the opponents as subhuman. But what we have to get across to the American people is the real subhumans are the Jews and the Israelis. And you can't say that. You know, when I say that to even people who are experienced on the internet, they say, oh, well, you can't say that. Well, we've been stifled by that for so long. I mean, when we go back to 9/11, it was impossible to say who was responsible for the thing. I think back to a certain event on December 27th, 2001. I read somewhere that Mike Rupert, who was one of the original champions of 9/11 opposition, addressed a gathering in Brooklyn, of all places, December 7th, 2001. He said, Israel had nothing to do with it. And in the last 20 years, there's been so much evidence that Israel had everything to do with it that, you know, I've been focused on it ever since then. But I think even worse than you have. I've been banished in so many places, including some places now that appear to be on target about the Jews. It took them a long time to get on board. But it has no impact on the Congress. It has no impact on the mainstream media, which is all Jewish. And so it's like we're going to lose the way things are set up now. There's nobody in Congress on our side. They're all mincing their words, just like we've been forced to do for 20 years, and we've got to stop it.
Well, John, of course, I agree 100%. I think this has got to do with the hesitance to get Jim Jordan into office. From everything I can tell, Jim Jordan has no sympathy, not only with a war in Ukraine, but he would oppose sending further aid to Israel. They got Biden down there to be an apologist, as I say. This is childish. He's telling other nations not to attack Israel. But I think that the pot is boiling over. I think it's now become inevitable. I think we're going to have a Muslim holy war or a true jihad against Israel. I do not see how it can be halted. Your thoughts?
If it happens against Israel, it's going to happen against the United States, because Israel is nothing without the United States. And we are the Muslimmen. They come up with the plans and we commit the crimes. There's certainly no, I have not seen a groundswell. I mean, it's one thing, I've always said this for a long time, it's one type of atmosphere on the internet, but on the ground, out in the real world, people have started wearing masks again. They believe what they hear on television, and they're ready to line up. I mean, they're ready to line up behind Ron DeSantis, who he wants to go over there and help the Israelis shoot the Palestinians. He just banned any refugees from Palestine coming to this country because he feared that that's going to bring more anti-Semitic people to the United States, which is exactly what we need. But the people outside of the internet, I mean, they're still not up to speed on COVID. They're still wearing masks. They're still getting booster shots because they haven't had any friends who've been affected by this, even though what they say, 15 million people have died from this shot and like 2 billion people have been injured. This news is not getting out. And I suspect, I don't watch television, so I don't know what's going on TV, but I suspect that the coverage on TV is just saying that the Israelis are doing the best they can to defend themselves from these terrorists who have killed a bunch of Israelis. Now, I think that's pretty much proven to have been a false flag at this point. I saw flatbed trucks that were carrying Palestinians following the Israeli orders to go to the southern part of Gaza. And at one part, they're all sitting on the trucks. And down the street, there's just a bunch of bloody corpses laying on a truck. It's like you can't believe anything Israel says. And you can't believe anything the U.S. government says. And that's what has me really scared. I mean, it's one thing to have put all these people in jail for trying to be patriotic and going to Washington to protest the false election and then getting sucked into this whole thing with Democratic judges giving them 33 years in prison and things like that. I mean, the fact that there's been no widespread protests about that is indicative of the degree to which Jewish media has deadened the minds of the American people, and they don't dare speak out. And geez, if there's ever a time where we had to speak out, it's right now. Because like I said before, what's happening in Gaza is coming to the United States.
John, I think you got it right. I think you got it right. And I worry terribly. I mean, they use this JDAM missile, I mean, extremely powerful. The United States provided those to Israel. They were ready to level Gaza. As I've often observed, the final solution from the Israeli point of view is to load all the Palestinians aboard a ship, float it out to sea, and sink it. And of course, they claim That was because the Palestinians didn't know how to navigate, or it hit an iceberg, or some other bullshit story, just like we're getting from Biden and Bibi today about this having been in a Hamas missile. How absurd is that?
I saw a movie that had that same technique. It's a Russian movie. It's in Russian. It's called Sundown, and it's about the Bolshevik Revolution and the Russian troops who surrendered to the Germans, they had surrendered to the Germans, and they came back to the Bolsheviks, and the Bolsheviks eventually put them on a barge. These are soldiers who surrendered, who were injured, put them on a barge and drove them out to sea and sunk the barge. A tremendous movie.
They literally did what I described, literally.
Yes.
Well, that is the final solution when the Israeli, the world needs to understand this.
I wanted to ask you about your military service. I spent 4 years in the Navy, but you had a much more responsible position. And I think this is the way we have to go about recruiting the people who are in the military now. How do you feel about your time in the military and what you did and what the military did while you were in the military?
Well, I was commissioned at graduation at Princeton, a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. I was a regular Marine Corps officer for 4 years of active duty. First year of training, Quantico, then Fort Sill, Lawton, Oklahoma, as an artillery officer. My first assignment was with the 1st Division, 12th Marines, 3rd Marine Division, which was base camped in Okinawa. We were pulling a training op in Japan at the time. My first assignment was to take my fire direction team out and determine the coordinates for live firing at the base of the sacred mountain. And in the distance, we could see pilgrims trekking up to Mount Fuji to pay their respects. And I turned to my fellow officer and said, "Who calls us ugly Americans?" Then I came back to the United States, and I was assigned to the recruit depot in San Diego. The first year, I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command going through the training cycle. You do one series and then another and then another. At the time, it was an 11-week program to train 8,000 recruits, but they moved me up to regimental headquarters to have it revise it so they could train 11,000 in 8 weeks using the same facilities. This is when Lyndon was going to jack up the war after Jack was shutting it down, which was among the reason why the Joint Chiefs threw in with the assassination of the president. So I had mixed feelings about it. My brother was a conscientious objector, and when he was before his draft board, they received perhaps the only letter they ever had from an active duty captain in the Marine Corps attesting to his sincerity and that he ought to be granted the exemption, which by a vote of 3-2, they did, John.
Lucky. You were lucky. Yeah. I have a funny feeling. I had an innocuous job on a ship in the Navy. It was inconsequential. But one of the most I was in 1967, and I didn't hear about the Liberty until 1990. So this is the way a typical military man is treated. He is not informed about what's really going on. And then when you get out, and like so many veterans have found out, especially the ones with PTSD, it's not until after they're out that they realize that the horror they've undergone. And so now we have aircraft carriers going to the Middle East. And I fear the great threat is going to be a hypersonic missile from somewhere. And when I said that to somebody else, they said, yeah, it's going to be from Israel, blamed on somebody else. And that could easily kindle World War III, because if that happens, we're going to start shooting at everybody. And so there's so many things Americans have to do, and I don't think they're up to the task, because our government is totally enthralled to Israel, and it's like they can't make a move without approval from the Jewish billionaires who have provided the money to get them elected. And so we're doomed, as it were, because not enough people are awake. Nobody knows what to do.
Hold that thought, John. We'll continue right after this break. Well, this is Jim Fetzer with my special feature guest, John Kaminsky, today, and I'm delighted to have you here, John. I've admired your work forever. I think your scenario is exactly right. These aircraft carriers, and we've sent two of them now off the coast of Israel, that are intended to intimidate other countries from becoming involved, are sitting ducks. In this day of hypersonic missiles, they can be taken out. And I agree with you. They're going to sink one of about 5,000 sailors and Marines on each, maybe even both, and blame it on Hamas or Iran, and then all hell is going to pay. But mark my words, this is the way the Israelis conduct their international affairs. False flags are their stock in trade.
That's so right. I want to say something about media labeling. There's this phrase that makes me crazy. The phrase is Khazarian Mafia. The whole Khazarian Mafia craze is the Jews' latest attempt to distance themselves from their crimes. How many of these labels have they invented to prevent us from using the accurate term Jews? Communists, socialists, liberals, Bolsheviks, Zionists, globalists, Mensheviks, Khazarian Mafia. This is a term used only by Jews, fools, and idiots. The ironic thing is that the Sephardic Jews, who people think are the good Jews, are much more savage than the Khazars, judging by the hateful rhetoric of the late Rabbi Obadiah Joseph. So all the websites who use the term Khazarian Mafia are admitting that they are intimidated by Jews and likely financially blackmailed by them as well. Americans are in a very bad situation. The USA is controlled by a foreign power. International Jewry. Jews control the government, the White House, the Congress, all the federal agencies, the courts, the universities, the public schools, through the Communist Teachers Union. They promote sex change operations for naive students, denigrating the family and blocking parents from looking out for their kids. They have changed our country into a police state and given up our sovereignty to the World Health Organization, which supervises the distribution of the vaccines that have killed 20 million people, many of them young, around the world and permanently injured another 2 billion others. Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and Klaus Schwab are homicidal maniacs. They're all Jews who should be on death row. Instead, they're telling the world leaders what to do and how to kill their own people. You can't trust your doctor anymore. They killed healthy people with remdesivir and midazolam and receive $100,000 per corpse if they follow the mandated government protocols using a vaccine that was never really tested, a test that never really worked, for a disease that was never proven to exist and still hasn't been. It could well be that nobody has ever died of COVID. You have never been able to trust your government. Americans who support the Ukraine are too stupid to be ashamed of themselves, because America started that war with 9 years ago with corrupted elections. They were so successful with that one that they thought they could bring it home to the U.S. and be able to push it through, which they did in 2020, thanks to the interrupted counting, lax security, the phony scandemic, and bogus media twisting everybody's minds as they always have done. Now there's this Jewish woman in Israel, Yasmin Porat, a survivor of the bloodshed at Kibbutz Be'eri, near the boundary with Gaza, says scores of Israeli citizens were killed by Israeli forces themselves and not by Hamas. That was from the Electronic Intifada. That's similar to what the American government has done to its own population with the COVID vaccines, which they knew prevented no disease. The thing wasn't tested, and they knew it was going to kill people, and that's what has happened. So that's the situation we face. You can't believe a single thing you hear on television, and you can only believe about half of what you see on the internet. And it's up to us to stop this. But in order to do it, the one single thing we have to recognize is that you can't trust a single thing that any Jew ever says.
Well, John, I just I agree with all that, with the exception that I think the phrase Khazarian mob is intended to reflect that these Jews in Israel are actually descendants of Khazarians. They don't have any Hebrew blood. They're not descendants of the tribe of Judah. And they, what that means is, since the Palestinians are bona fide Semites, they actually are Hebrew in their descent, that Israel is the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today. Plus, censorship is so vigorous regarding any aspersions using the word Jews. Any attack on Jews is regarded as anti-Semitism. I think the use of the phrase Khazarian mafia has a rhetorical benefit as well, not only the one I've mentioned here about history and DNA, but to circumvent censorship, which has become so massive in the United States, as though we no longer had a First Amendment.
That's right. I think the larger point is that we're being controlled by these people, that they have us pinned down completely. We can't make a move without them. And the moves they have scheduled coming up of taking control of the cash and giving us all identification that is going to be registered at a central source means really the end of our freedom, because freedom of speech is already gone. I mean, when you look at all the things that have happened on Google and Twitter and all the arguments about these, what was that board they needed to, that Homeland Security decided to create to determine whether everything was real? And for them to be determining what's real means that everything is going to be unreal. And that's really the situation we have now. Everything is unreal.
Oh, I think that's right. It's like the culmination of William Casey's declaration when he became director of the CIA. And I have a colleague who was there to hear him say it. Our disinformation program will be complete when everything the American people believe is false. And we're damn near there, John. We are damn near there.
Mark Levine, a guy who's I've received compliments or heard compliments about him. He's urging he's urging the Israelis to use nuclear weapons in Gaza. This is the kind of incendiary stuff they do. And probably the person who, the creep who bothers me the most, is this Nikki Haley, who supposedly is running for president, and she is just pandering to Israel to such a degree, even worse than DeSantis. It's just the you can't look to either party for rational judgments about what is going on, because they're all owned by Jews, because they all depend on Jews. It's the Cynthia McKinney principle, where if you don't sign that document supporting Israel, they're going to run you out of Congress.
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. And Lindsey Graham is right in their pitching, too. He's calling for Israel to level Gaza. I mean, these people don't have any comprehension of international law or the nature of morality or human rights or the Geneva Convention. I mean, this is all blatant violation of international law, John. It is grotesque.
Or they don't have any comprehension of the situation in Gaza because it's already leveled. I mean, these people are living in ruins, and they have the temerity to cut off the water and the electricity. I mean, this is a typical reflection of how the Jews view non-Jews as farm animals to be disposed of, it to be abused first and disposed of at will. And this attitude really infects the United States. It really affects the whole Western world. I don't know how much impact it has on Russia and China. They have their own problems abusing their own people. But at least in the Western world now, there is this Jewish royalty that lords it over their lesser brethren, and has developed this new habit of bringing in the Africans to lower the white people down to the level of Africans. That's what's going on in Europe now, and it's going on in the United States. It's like I'm not trying to demean people from other countries who are seeking a better life. because when they're handed this free pass, of course they take it. Who wouldn't? But and it's not to say that they're lesser than the white people who are watching this all happen in America, but to bring them in to replace Americans as they have done, and to give these immigrants debit cards and cell phones and free hotel rooms, when the I would say the vast majority of American people are losing their homes and scrambling for places to live and trying to keep from going broke. I mean, it's just this is not what leaders do to their country. This is what saboteurs do to their country.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the fact of the weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI, January 6th, John appears to have been run by the FBI. They had so many agents involved there, they can't even give you the number. I mean, it's just stunning.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the mayor of D.C. all complicit in setting this up. It's like it target conservatives and right-wingers and Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. And I declare they want to provoke a civil war, then impose martial law and round up all the domestic terrorists and execute them on the spot, John. That's the practice of the past. Following the Bolshevik Revolution, they want to employ the same technique here in the USA.
That's what people don't realize. The American people definitely don't realize that what their own government is doing now, Jewish control that it is doing the same thing that the Bolsheviks did, doing the same thing that the Jacobins did in France. And these revolutions have gone on forever, and the Jews have been behind them all. I think the two of the facts most people don't realize in America, because the younger generation is woefully undereducated at this point, but people are familiar with what happened in Russia somewhat, where the Jews who took over, they killed the Tsar and his family, and they took over Russia. They killed 100 million non-Jews, mostly Christians, some Muslims. They killed 100 million over a period of like 70 years until recently. But what people don't realize is that Jews also engineered the slaughter of 60 million Chinese at least once and maybe twice by grooming Mao Zedong. Yale in China had an operation going on there. And I just read the other day that not only were they in Mao's camp, but it was the Russian Jews who tried to impose Sun Yat-sen on China. And he was in charge for a while, but they replaced him with Mao Zedong. And this, we betrayed our allies of World War II, which was Chiang Kai-shek, and for no particular reason other than the bankers even then were in control of the world, and they're certainly in control of the world now. So our task, if we want to retain our individuality and if we want to have a genuine brand of freedom, is that we have to identify how the Jews have poisoned society. And it's a very difficult proposition, because one of the things I worry about most now is that the Jews have pretty much taken over the Jewish opposition, with places like Brother Nathaniel and Un's Review and various other people I won't name just yet, who are pretending to be. Well, Jordan Peterson would be one. He's so disgusting. Yeah. And Ben Shapiro. The Jews have taken over the Jewish opposition. Henry Mackow is another one. He's a great writer. He's had some great stories. But he's a Jew telling us about the Jew revolution. And that scares me almost more than anything, because that means we have no freedom at all, if they control 100, they control 360 degrees of our worldview.
Well, my impression of Brother Nathaniel, and especially of Henry Mackow, have been very favorable. I mean, not all Jews are Zionists. You well know that. John, and yeah, I think they are actually severe critics of Zionism. I guarantee you 100%. I've interviewed Henry on this very program, and he's an outspoken opponent of Zionism and all this treachery, which he frequently calls out on his own blog, some of which are really stunning and deep and thorough. So I would take exception. It's absolutely true, however, and I've many times reported that the Israelis run our media. I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. Another for NBC, 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. A third from the New York Times, another 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. So they control our Congress, they control our media. It's no wonder so much of the American people has been played by their propaganda.
Yes, it's true. What do you think about dual citizenship?
Well, the very first political speech I ever gave, which was in 2008, on 15 April, at a Ron Paul Freedom Rally, on the steps, actually the grass outside the Capitol in Washington, D.C., it would subsequently be published under the title of 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda. I observed that no dual citizen should ever be allowed into a policy-shaping or decision-making position in the American government, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. President Erdogan was absolutely floored when Blinken said to him he represents Jews, not America, even though he's our Secretary of State. And Janet Yellen, another dual Jew citizen, has said, oh, yes, we can afford to fund both a war in Ukraine and a war in Israel, because they want to use the United States, squeeze us like a lemon, and then throw away the rind, John. Some of which has been said quite literally by various Jewish leaders, including Bibi Netanyahu, who, of course, was a brain trust behind 9/11.
One of the things that so disappointed me about this whole Ukraine scam was the number of Americans who started waving Ukrainian flags and believing the story that the Russians were invading this independent country, because it was so obvious to me, as well as you, as well as anybody with a brain, that the United States had gone in there 8 years ago with Victoria Nuland and her cookies and staged this so-called revolution, where the snipers on top of the building were shooting people at random, and they didn't mind shooting people on both sides of the question. So that the Russians put up with that for 8 years before their citizens in Donetsk were being abused to such a degree that they had to put a stop to it. And the Jewish media in the United States call that the invasion of a sovereign country, which it really never was. It was the invasion of a U.S. protectorate deliberately put there to destabilize Russia. And lately, I've noticed that the trick that the Israelis just pulled on their own people, where they supposedly coordinated with Hamas to come in and shoot up a bunch of Israeli citizens, was exactly the same technique that Victoria Nuland used in the Maidan revolution in Ukraine, where the Jews come in and kill people on both sides with no allegiance to anybody, and just to create the chaos from which they profit.
Yes, it's outrageous that America do not understand that Ukraine had a pro-Russia president that was taken out by Victoria Nuland using $5 billion of American taxpayer dollars that came out of your pocket and mine to install a Western puppet of whom Zelensky is a successor. And since that happened in 2014, they began an artillery bombardment of the Donbass, where there were many ethnic Russians, Russian-friendly Russian speakers, and they were about to launch an all-out assault to slaughter them when Putin intervened. That was a cause of the timing. It was not only in opposition to Ukraine becoming a member of NATO, where he'd warned the West again and again and again that that was unacceptable to Russia because it threatened their national security, but because they were going to slaughter all these people in Ukraine, and he intervened with a special military operation. He explained all this in his magisterial statement of over a year and a half ago before the invasion took place. But the Western media, by and large, has ignored all that. They only report the propaganda. It's stunning, John. And it's a miracle any Americans have any comprehension of what's really going on in the world at all today.
And speaking of Jewish penetration of reality, I'm amazed by the fact that most European countries are so truculent, are so deferential to the United States, that they haven't said anything about the course of action demanded by the United States, even though the United States has blown up the pipeline that quadrupled their energy costs for the winter and ruined the economies of most of these countries by cutting that pipeline. It's like that was a war on our own allies, which is a very Jewish trait. I mean, Jews will kill their own citizens, and so will Americans now, as we've just proven in the COVID scandemic, where so many people have died with this untested vaccine that has been blamed on a disease that doesn't exist.
And by the way, I by and large agree with you about the pandemic. We had a report slip through from Johns Hopkins that there'd been no increase in the rate of death in any age group from the COVID, but after the vax, of course, it changed 100%. Right. And by my best calculation, it's brought about the death of over a billion worldwide, John, over a billion.
I hear you. It's really a horrible situation. I'm appalled by, it's like I'm on Medicare now, and it's like I've fired four or five doctors here in the last couple of years. Just fired another one the other day. But it's not safe to go to a hospital because they have so many financial incentives. I took my friend Bruce to the hospital. He was 92, and he was always worried about dying, and his blood pressure was going up and down. I took him in there, and they took him in the other room. He never came out, and he died of COVID. And he was a healthy guy. He was active. He was half blind, but he still played golf because his friends would tell him where his ball went. And so he was still vibrant. How many people? I mean, there's so many tragedies. In fact, the people who died alone, the grandmothers who died alone in hospitals, with their families not allowed to see them, very much remind me of the Palestinians now who are being slaughtered. Where they stand. I mean, the Israelis are butchering kids. That's what Israelis do. They butcher kids. Israeli soldiers shoot little kids throwing stones at them. They shoot those kids for sport, and they laugh about it. And that's what Jewish influence has done to the United States. They've turned us into a Jewish colony with no regard for even their own lives.
John, I think that's basically correct. It's outrageous. It's stunning, but I think you got it right. In fact, they changed their policy from killing the little kids to maiming them so they'll become a medical burden on the limited resources of the Palestinian people. But it's utterly sadistic. Shooting them for sport has been the best practice. You are 100% correct.
It's horrific. The Israelis are horrific, and the American people are supporting them, which makes the American people horrific.
Well, I think it's mostly out of ignorance. Americans are very gullible, sad to say, and because they're so busy trying to keep a roof over their head and food on the table, and if they hear a report from a couple of sources, say CNN and the New York Times, they take it to be true, not realizing it's all propaganda controlled by a common source. John, we'll be right back after this break.
Good deal.
Oh, perhaps I even mistook at a minute too early. Looks like
I always did that. Yeah.
There's a bill to send American military to defend Israel if Hezbollah also attacks, claiming Israel could not survive. So the U.S. has got to become involved. How awful is that, John? How awful is that?
They'd like to start World War III, and they may yet do it.
I agree. I think it's in the works. I think it's coming, and the American people are going to have practically nothing to do with it.
Except support the lies that they hear in Jewish media.
Yes, 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 yes. Sad to say, unbelievable, pathetic, awful. And we do not have a... Go ahead.
We have the same problem with 9/11. You know, we try to tell people, like, you know, what's wrong with this picture? Jewish fingerprints on all aspects of the operation. Oh, no, it was Arab terrorists. And in school, they're still being taught it was Arab terrorists, despite the fact that they've never been named.
Yes.
So by not solving 9/11 and then submitting to the COVID epidemic, I've lost confidence that we can ever solve anything and avoid this horrible fate that awaits us.
Yeah. You're right, John. You're right. And, you know, 9/11 was, Bibi Netanyahu was a brain trust behind 9/11. And the whole idea was to create a pretext for American forces to come to the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. We'll be right back with John Kaminsky after this break. John, as though on cue, Henry Mackow, today, October 18th, at henrymackow.com. Zionists are barefaced liars and murderers. This is a devastating indictment of the Talmudic Jews. Henry, check it out. Go there now. You'll see what I'm talking about. In my opinion, Henry's a powerful force for truth and for good and for what is right. And that we listen to sources like him more, we'd have a far better understanding of what's taking place in the world today.
I agree.
By the way, you know, there are all this guy, Mark Levin, whom Sean Hannity describes as the great one, is calling for Israel to exercise the Samson option, blowing up the capitals of all the Western countries and the major cities of the United States if it's going to go down because of, say, a Muslim all-out assault. He's recommending that. I mean, the inhumanity to man, Henry. John, it's just a disgrace.
Makes him a good Jew. I'm sure he's very popular in Israel.
Levin.
Yeah. No, Henry has run some of my stuff, and I've recommended some of his stuff. It's just that, I guess really what I want to see, and I don't believe I'll see it in my lifetime, I would like to see a complete psychological examination of the Talmud to find out how the Jews got to be this way. Now, I think one of the key points in this is the circumcision ritual at 8 days old that makes Jews insane and prone to homosexuality. And it also gets them to hate their mothers because the way the Jews treat women is really not an enlightened thing to do. But this brainwashing that Jews get in, Jewish kids get in their various rituals. I saw a snippet from an Israeli school where these little kids were saying how all they really wanted to do was kill Arabs. It was just so barbaric. And it kind of makes me suspicious every time I talk to a Jew, since I know about Jewish history, about the Russian Revolution and the French Revolution, I don't want to get into the formation of Christianity, but they're heavily involved in that as well. And for for a Jew like Henry Mackow to come up and say that he's really opposed to Jews, I just can't have a great feeling of confidence that he's not going to pull something on us further down the line. And I know that's unfair, but it's certainly not as unfair as the Jews have been to the rest of the world, because they have manipulated every society that they have come in contact with. They have overcome lots of obstacles. They have a tremendous amount of discipline. They're very clever and very creative, although I don't think they're too original. But that doesn't matter, because they have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams in swindling the rest of the world. And now they're in a position to control the whole place. And what will happen when they have everybody on CBDCs and control of all the money that everybody spends? What is going to happen to the rest of the world? Well, I think what's going to happen to the rest of the world is what's happening to the Palestinians. That's the way they're eventually going to treat everybody, because that's the way they always have treated everybody. So I'm very worried about that. I'm very worried about all this talk about the singularity and the modernization is one of the scariest words there is, because that's generally the consolidation of power. And they want everybody to be controllable droids who are obedient and agreeable and serve them as their slaves. And that's not what I have in mind for my destiny or my future. It's like, I think it's very important now to focus on how important individuality was. At least the superficial reasoning of the American Constitution stressing freedom of speech and freedom of religion and just freedom to be who you are. Nobody's talking about that anymore. They're talking about regimentation. They're talking about everybody living in 15-minute cities and obeying the law. And it's like individuality has taken a back seat along with peace and integrity and individual initiative. And it's like we don't hear these things anymore. They just want obedient slaves, and I've never been one of those, and I don't plan on being one.
Me neither, my friend, of course. I have also been concerned that the Israelis might use directed energy weapons on Gaza and the West Bank, just as we saw it used in Maui and in Paradise, California, and John, I know you have thoughts about that.
Oh, well, like so many things, there's nobody talking about the 2,000 missing kids in Maui. And I mean, what happened to them? There were refrigerated trucks that were kept running, and some people speculated that the bodies were stored in there on the next island. I forget the name of it. I think it's Lanai. Owned by Larry Ellison of Oracle, it was such a power grab, and for the mainstream media to downplay the possibility of directed energy weapons, which we all know exist, even though officially they don't. It kind of resembles Sandy Hook. That's one of your favorite things, where they appear to have gotten away with the Sandy Hook crime. Everybody got rich in Sandy Hook. Probably no kids were killed, according to this book I read. But they got away with it. And it's like the schools teach that this 120-pound kid carrying 80 pounds of weapons killed 20 kindergartners without injuring a single one and without wasting too many shots. I don't know that he wasted any shots, but he, I mean, it's so clear to me that he never existed. But they got away with it. I mean, you chronicle all these things in your books, that wonderful series of books that you've done. You've got a chapter and verse. And it's like, that's what has become our reality. They're still talking about Arab hijackers. Just a little while ago, I tried to resuscitate the the no planes theory, and I realized I was probably wrong to do that. What I really should have been focusing on was the no hijacker theory, because Larry Silverstein got that $7.4 billion because they believed the hijacker story, which made it a terrorist incident. And it wasn't a terrorist incident, obviously. It was an inside job of the explosives in the buildings, et cetera. But as long as there are hijackers, he got his money. And there were no hijackers.
John, suspect you know, I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005. It took off like a rocket. I brought together hundreds of experts worldwide, pilots, engineers, aeronautical, structural, electrical, physicists. And I've done a huge amount on the various crash sites, and I guarantee 100% all four of the 9/11 crash site were faked, albeit in different ways. Two of the planes weren't even in the air that day, Flight 11, North Tower, and 77 Pentagon. The other two were still in the air after they'd allegedly crashed in Shanksville or hit the South Tower. Pilots for 9/11 Truth tracked them and found that the Flight 93 was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois after it officially crashed in Shanksville, and that Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania after it officially hit the South Tower. And I update FAA registration records showing that the planes, the physical aircraft used for those two flights, were, of course, the same physical aircraft can use for multiple flights, one day Tampa to Chicago, the next day New York to San Francisco, were not even deregistered or formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? I've documented all this, John, in spades. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and check out my 9/11 special dedicated to David Steele and my germ warfare report on the 9/11 cover-up. I spell it out in detail. No plane theory, to wit, that none of those four planes actually crashed on 9/11 is impeccable. So you're being attacked, John, because it's an Achilles heel of the 9/11 account. And as far as Sandy Hook is concerned, I wound up being in contact, and this is long after the book had been published, with two of the participants and their mutual friend with whom we communicated, and they confirmed they liked the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which, of course, is why it had to be banned by Amazon, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month. It turns out that the school wasn't even an elementary. It was a special needs school, John, that Eric Holder came to Newtown and offered the community $140 million if they participate in the scam. They had auditions for different roles. They signed non-disclosure agreements. They've even recycled some. I mean, the parties I was dealing with were the woman who was cast as Emily Parker, the little blonde-haired girl, and the party was cast as Vicky Soto, the teacher, supposed to have died heroically, who actually was cast again at Uvalde, where she played the teacher again, Eva Morales, for which she was paid $210,000. I've got all this documented, though. You know, don't be faint of heart about no planes or Sandy Hook. In fact, if you look at an aerial photograph, you can see there's something very odd, because instead of being arranged so a bus could drive in with a U-shaped driveway, there's only one way in. And get this, have you ever heard of an elementary school that had no playground? There's no playground at Sandy Hook.
There were no Christmas decorations. That's what got me.
That's right. That's also true. I mean, there are 100 different lines of proof that show it was
there
a sham. But they have weaponized the judicial system. I was hauled into court, and in spite of my mountain of evidence, It was just set aside by the judge on the ground that it was unreasonable. I even had two forensic document experts supporting me because the case revolved around the authenticity of a death certificate. They both supported me, and the judge even set them aside. And then the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin went along with it. It was absurd. I was denied my right to a jury trial. They juxtaposed. You can only have a summary judgment if there are no disputed facts. And they juxtaposed the petitioner's claim of, you know, Adam Lanza shooting 20 kids and six adults with mine, that it was a FEMA drill where nobody died, and said there were no disputed facts, John. I went all the way to the Supreme Court on this, and my inside sources told me all of my cases were predetermined.
Right. Well, we got the January 6th thing staring at us now. With they got people who got 30 years in jail for that whole thing as a setup job. I mean, talk about ravaging the population, and talk about proving that our law enforcement agency is nothing of the sort. It's a law breaking agency, basically, in service to the billionaires who run the country. And I guess that's the way it's always been, because when you look back at Woodrow Wilson and things like that, it was the same thing going on then, and it's gone on right down through time. And it makes me think about it. This is more philosophical than anything else, because I'm a kind of a student of religion, and I have some rather jarring conclusions about that. But I mean, I trust you and you trust me, and we have this great circle of friends that we trust to have integrity and try to get to the bottom of things. But looking at the whole world, especially with the false basis of a lot of these religions, can people trust each other? Is that ever going to happen? I mean, when you look back at George Washington and Alexander Hamilton and the American Revolution, they're working for King George, and it's like, are people trustworthy at all, or is all of existence just a total scam? That's where I am these days. It's like, wow, is it impossible to trust people?
John, do you think they could use directed energy weapons on Gaza or the West Bank? That's a fear I have, because these are devastating devices, and there's no question about existence. I have documented their existence from way back when they took out Paul Wellstone by creating an electromagnetic field that popped all the computerized systems on the plane, including navigation, communication, safety, the whole bit, set the props below idle, causing it to crash. And then they had prepared the fuselage to burn intensely for 7 hours to destroy all the evidence, because otherwise it would have been obvious how it had been done. I have a book about it called American Assassination, and you can find a video of mine on my assassinationscience.com website. Just scroll to the bottom left under flash videos about Paul Wellstone. Before I retired from the University of Minnesota Duluth, I did a three-parter, an hour on JFK, an hour on 9/11, an hour on Wellstone. You can find all three there at assassinationscience.com at the bottom on the left. What do you think about directed energy weapons in Israel, John?
I'm afraid to think about it. Well, one of the questions that kind of relate to that was, about a week or so after Maui, Greg Reese, who's done some wonderful videos, wonderful short, punchy videos, had a piece on a Chinese satellite that supposedly intersected Maui at the precise moment that these fires started. And I saw that, and I'm a suspicious guy, as you know. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't match up with the conclusions that I reached about the inside job aspects of the whole thing that benefited certain American and international, namely Jewish, priorities, that was the reason for the Maui immolation in the first place. So what does it mean that Greg Reese brought this Chinese angle into the picture? It still doesn't mesh with me.
No, I agree. I think he was played. I'm sorry to say, he's done brilliant work. I think he's a super good guy. But I don't buy it either, John. China had nothing to do with Maui. This was all the usual suspect, BlackRock, Oprah, you know, the wealthy elite. They wanted to the governor is involved. They wanted to create a sustainable society there. And you mentioned the 2,000 missing kids. My conclusion has been they were bused to an airport and flown out. Remember, these sadistic animals will do anything for a buck. And each of those kids, when you combine sex trafficking with ritual murder and adrenochrome accumulation and then harvesting their organs, is worth about $1 million a piece, John. $1 million a piece.
Exactly right. And we haven't heard a peep. I guess all the parents are dead, which is quite likely, but we haven't heard any kind of parent coming forth and saying, you know, I think my kid was snatched, or I just haven't heard a peep about that from anywhere.
Yeah, I find that very surprising and disturbing. I think they've got to be clamping down. You know, the situation in Lahaina was so outrageous, outrageous.
And they block those people in and deliberately kill them, just like they're doing in Gaza now.
Yes, yes, yes. I think so too.
Here's another question. Here's another question. What do you think of Putin?
I'm a huge Putin supporter. I think he's the only true statesman astride the world stage. I think he is the single greatest hope for humanity. Vladimir Putin, in my opinion, is the greatest hope for humanity. And I don't believe he's going to be happy with what Israel is doing to the Gazans. And China's already spoken out against it. They have both found it abusive. But I'm telling you, I think the whole Islamic community is going to rise up against it in a holy war. And that Erdogan, who is president of Turkey, he wants to be the leader of all Muslims in the world. I don't think he's going to pass up this opportunity to take the lead.
I haven't heard anything from him yet about this.
John, what other issues might you have that you'd like to address today? We have just a few minutes before we open the line to callers. But if there's something else you'd like to add, I'd be delighted.
Well, I said, okay, since you say that, I want to put you in the Hall of Fame because of all the conspiracies that you've addressed and analyzed and developed so wonderfully, and I think they're mostly error-free, I mean, they should be part of the curriculum in public schools rather than banned to some obscure website, and I think that your record of American history is probably the most accurate one that exists in the world today.
Oh, John, I'm very touched by that. My methodology has been recognizing I don't know all there is to know, to bring together groups of experts to help sort it out. And I've done it again and again with JFK on a monster scale, 9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, additional books not yet in print on Las Vegas, but also Uvalde, Buffalo, Nashville. I'm telling you, I've had the benefit of the best people, John, so I can't really take the credit, except I've organized and edited and you know, served as a catalytic agent to bring it about.
What do you think of this Pelletier character?
Who?
John Pelletier, who was in Las Vegas and Maui.
Why is that slipping my mind? Tell me about Pelletier.
He was the sheriff in Las Vegas where the supposed
John, it's ridiculous. We have video in Las Vegas where you can see lights flashing in the middle of the Mandalay. We know it was a pre-recorded soundtrack played over the PA system. We know nobody died there with the exception of the body found in the 32nd floor suite. And yet the sheriff claimed there was no evidence of it, shots being fired from any other location. He's a big time liar. He was brought over there to cover his up. I mean, he was the man for the job. Just as you may know, the FBI, for all the innocent civilians, and they planted the the concert crowd with, I think, 500 crowds on demand, you know, paid crisis actors, the sincere Americans who turned over their cell phones and there, that could be important evidence. The FBI wiped them all clean, John. That's the state of law enforcement in America today.
It is. It's Merrill Garfinkel is the state of law enforcement.
It's just a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. And John.
So we have no free. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say we're about to hit the break and we'll take calls after. 540-352-4452. This is a unique opportunity to speak with John Kaminsky and me about these issues. Take advantage of it. 540-352-4452. We look forward to hearing from you. And John, I'm just ecstatic to have you here today, my friend.
My pleasure, Jim. I appreciate it.
And we're going to be featuring John, too, as a speaker at my Volkswagen Conspiracies Conference this year, 16, 17 December. Mark your calendars. It's going to be free and open to the public. You can watch it live. 10 to 12 speakers on Saturday, another 10 to 12 on Sunday. This is something you don't want to miss. More about it forthcoming. We'll be right back and take your calls. Well, we do have a regular caller to the show standing by, but before we go there, John, we have Steve Bannon reporting, I have spies. Lobbyists were walking around cutting deals with GOP representatives at Capitol Grill to vote against Jim Jordan. I think the motivation is obvious. Jordan doesn't want to send more money to Ukraine. That's going to cut down on the profits on the military-industrial complex. They don't want Jordan. I don't know what he's had to say about Israel, but I suspect he's not a big enthusiast for Israel. Your thoughts, John?
The Jews control the Congress, no question about it. They're going to get their way. They will get a milquetoast person to be the speaker.
Yeah, I think they're going to want to go for McHenry, who's a temporary speaker. I think they're going to want to make him the permanent. That's how I see it falling out. Meanwhile, Paul in California is standing by. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, good show. Thanks. I'm glad to be first here so that way I can stay on point and I don't have to go to battle with any other lame callers yet. The first thing I will do is recognize John Kaminsky and all the writing that he's done. I have indeed read you before, as well as heard you on other shows. And, my opinion, you're about as solid as they come. And Jim Fetzer is doing well to catch up, as I have joked with him before, going back years. I said, Jim, did you ever think you'd become a national socialist on the Jewish question, and of course, we all don't know where the road is taking us until we start to go down the road and come to the inevitable conclusions that we can all come to. So I'm going to reemphasize a point I made with Jim, and hopefully, John, you'll appreciate this point, because earlier in the discussion, talk about the Talmud, about, who's a Zionist and who isn't. And it's an interesting, shall we say, point along the way, but we can't linger there for any length of time because it's an exercise in futility, right? It's nothing that you can tell by an interview. And of course, as we know, and as you said, John, they just lie. I mean, so what are we going to do? Put a microphone in somebody's face and say, hey, are you a Zionist? Do you believe in the Talmud? And they'll, oh, no, of course not. Oh, well, that's good enough for me, right? It's an impossible conundrum that we're put in by these people. And in the end, we have to look at history. If we just look at the last 10, 20, 50 years, we're finished. But if we look at the last 500 to 1,000 years, it's obvious that we cannot tolerate their presence at all amongst us. We just cannot, okay? Because they do the same thing over and over and over again in all the societies that they're able to penetrate. So what other conclusion can you draw, right? I mean, I have no problem, by the way, with the characterization and shall we say, the gross inaccuracy, the portrayal of the Germans as Nazis. I mean, I don't have a problem, even though, of course, it mostly wasn't true. But they had it right in their thinking, right, and their reasoning that they have to be out of Europe. Okay, where they go, well, you know, that's debatable. Personally, I don't care. But I don't think there's only I think there's only one way out of this. And I know I mentioned this to Jim the other day and he didn't disagree. Is sooner or later, we're just going to have to get it in our heads that we have to give these people the Leo Frank treatment. Okay, the Leo Frank treatment or the French Revolution treatment. Otherwise, we're doomed to continue this ridiculousness for, you know, however many decades or centuries it takes for them to finish us off. But believe me, if they can get the upper hand in numbers with all the non-whites that don't care a damn about us, and with them in power, we know they don't care a damn about us, then we're going to be finished. So it's the strong survive. That's all this is. That's all it's ever been. Thanks.
Well, John, go ahead and respond to Paul, though I want to add a couple caveats. You know, I don't regard myself as a national socialist, and I'm not at all sure that the Frank solution is the right solution to the problem. But I certainly agree we have a major problem on our hands, and I agree. I think you have done a great deal to underline and emphasize that problem. Paul does it frequently on this show and elsewhere. Go ahead, John.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. I think the Lonnie solution is probably inevitable. We're gonna have to fight them, and we're gonna have to dispatch them like the vermin that they are. But one thing we know won't work is to banish them to another section of the globe, because so many countries have tried to do that, and they regroup in Turkey or Belgium or wherever they wind up, and they manage to sneak back and destroy the hosts that threw them out. But I take the whole thing on a different level. I've discovered something I'm kind of a cosmologist, but I'm not a religious person, and I've come to believe that the Jews created both Christianity and Islam to give them a formula for permanent chaos, which is what they profit from. And I think the world is going to have to come and realize that we have chosen to be ruled by an alien entity that is Yahweh, and he's a distillation of previous deities. And I think we have to transcend that and reorient ourselves to learning how to live rather than craving how to die. And it's like what John Lamb Lash calls the archontic religions, which are Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, stress that we are controlled by this phantom entity who lays down certain rules so that we can die peacefully. And I think that's the wrong way to die peacefully. I think the way you die peacefully is to live an honest life, try to help your friends, and that pretty much everything you do for yourself doesn't count, but what you do for others is everything. And I think if we can reorient ourselves to that philosophy, then we are on the way to a more peaceful and productive destiny.
Paul.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
That's my answer.
I love what you said about dispatch them like the vermin they are. You spoke to me there. I mean, I was just giving them an out by, you know, trying to relocate them. You know, there was talk about I mean, it could work if they were on a big island like Madagascar, and you did not let them in. I mean, they could only come in as tourists, and they would have to be tagged and tracked like an animal. In other words, you put a collar on them.
You can't
just ban them from public office or ban them from finance or ban them from, because then they'll advocate as a distressed, aggrieved minority for their, quote, their rights. And it's the same pattern over and over again. How many centuries do we want to go through this? So, yeah, I agree with you. Maybe a one-way ticket to the sun, something like that. But, yeah, and here's the other thing, Jim, I'll touch upon, with the biological nature, okay, is the fact of the matter is there's no Talmud or no set of rituals that the Jews go through to make them the way they are. It's biological. Lots of us have been circumcised, and, of course, I'm completely opposed to it, knowing a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it brings on more trauma in some than others, but there's no amount of circumcision or no amount of whatever these Jews do to their kids, tell them to hate Arabs. I've rejected so much of what I learned from school and parents, and I'm sure that a lot of them do as well. That's not it. It's a biological issue, okay? And part of what the Jews have done to invert reality, remember, you've done many shows and you've had many callers talk about the world of inversion, right, is they invert the idea that biology is real, and they want us to believe that equality exists. Excuse me, I started to swallow something. That equality exists and that environment is omni-important. And guess what? It's the opposite. Biology is important.
They want to operate on us and change the way we think, and we need to do that to them first.
Just by the way, a scientific point, studies with identical twins raised in alternative environments show approximately 60% of our traits are biologically determined and 40% environmentally induced or acquired. I mean, it's...
Well, here's, again, this is all, subject to debate, but I think John would agree with, the idea that why take a chance? Why take a chance with these people? And I remember back in the 70s, probably in the mid to late 70s, and I was still a kid, and I was reading, I think it was from, just out of curiosity, from a textbook on criminality or criminologist, right? And they talked about the fact back then, and this is from studies from like the 50s and the 60s, that showed that all these repeat offenders had some sort of a, either, brain abnormalities or brain chemistry, issues where this is the reason why they were continuing to reoffend. So it's, in my opinion, all this stuff has been fairly well known about criminals, about the difference between the races. And all our masters want to do is cover this up. They want to cover this up because there's a natural order to the natural world. It can't be denied.
Well, I think our greatest trait as a species is compassion, and it's gotten us in trouble. We tried to feed the Africans, and now they're overwhelming us. And so there has to be some judgment involved in that. But it's like everybody deserves a second chance, but nobody deserves a third chance.
We have another caller here. Let's see, area code 917. Oh, Reese. Reese. Join the conversation, but Reese, I prefer we not get into a, conflict, direct conflict with Paul. Just stick to the issues, my friend. Go ahead, Reese.
Yeah, well, your presumption was wrong, Jim. I had no intention of getting into a direct. I wanted to actually challenge some of the statements made by John Kaminsky. And John. I'm a dark horse. You don't know who I am, and you don't know my background. But I'd be willing to accept an open debate with you on this, I'm going to call it nonsense, because I've researched this in depth now for many years, about Christianity was the creation of the Jews, or this other nonsense coming out of Alexander Hislop's book that has been completely debunked by an actual scholar who has a PhD, that his book was made for people that are easy marks, people who don't get information. The same people who subscribe to the Jordan Maxwell nonsense. You know, the Jordan Maxwell, the communion wafer is the sun god, that Jesus is Horus. I mean, John, this is utter nonsense, and it could be easily disproven. Now, if you believe in this, I'll be happy to have an open debate with you on Fetch's program anytime.
John, Reese, why don't you... What? Yeah,
Reese,
go ahead, John.
You're a Christian zealot, and I'm not interested.
Well, you see, it's an ad hominem attack, Jim. He's name-calling. He has no rebuttal other than name-calling.
Reese, you've asserted a position, but Jim, you haven't established it. Do you want to give us some of your arguments about...
I'm inviting him to a debate, and he's calling me names.
Nobody wants to debate you. John, because you can't.
And Paul, you're a know-nothing. Please remain silent. You're a know-nothing, Paul, and you're beholden. John, I want to let you know who you're aligning yourself with.
Just so you know.
Here's who you're aligning yourself with. John Kaminsky, this guy, no, he's not a Jew. He's not a Jew. He's a Christian. He's a devout Christian. Jim, would you muzzle your moron for a minute? Please muzzle him.
Reese, I'm sorry. I got to go the other way, Reese. I think you've been way off base here today. So you're the one taking a departure, my friend. But so much for that. John, any thoughts? And Paul?
No, I have the same answer. He's a Christian zealot, and he can't be dissuaded, and I have no interest in talking to him.
Yeah. Well, I think it went a little off the edge here. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Well, so, I mean, this is the same thing over and over again. It's like, I'm willing to give anybody the benefit of the doubt, right? But he has the same shtick, which is what an expert he is, and he's going to challenge you to a debate. I mean, how many times have we heard this, Jim? I mean, he's done it on other shows as well, where like, oh, I could debate circles around you. You know, this whole thing that again, I've accused him of being a Jew multiple times. He's never denied it. Now, whether he denies it or not is immaterial, right? I have my suspicion, but I've accused him and Dave from New York of being a Jew over and over and over again. And not one time they say, that's not true. I am not, blah, blah, blah. Okay. No, they just let it lay. So
Let's return to the issues. That would be a good idea. I was hoping Reese would stay there, but not. So go ahead. Right. Go ahead. John, pick up anywhere you like.
Well, if you want, John. That was a needless distraction. I used to be when I was doing shows. I used to be pretty quick to pick up on Jews. He may have been a Jew or he may have been a Christian identity guy, whatever, but I don't want to do that. You know, I believe that I'm a good American, and I believe in freedom of religion. But I exclude Judaism for that because that's not a religion. That's a crime scheme. But I also think, and this is really recent studies, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, that... When Akhenaten came to power in Egypt, he destroyed the original Egyptian religion and imposed his own monotheism on the Egyptians. And they, as soon as he died, they did away with it and they went back to their old system, but it was fundamentally ruined. And I think that, in fact, Russ Winter had a story about this that I like very much. And the proto-Hebrews came into Egypt and ruled it for 3,000 years and killed a lot of people and starved a lot of people and then escaped with all the gold. And so that's the same thing they did in Russia. That's the same thing they did in France. That's the same thing they did in Rome. Julius Caesar was an agent of the Jews. And that's the same thing they did with the creation of Christianity, where they destroyed the library at Alexandria, one of the great crimes in history, because they destroyed the history of the earth. That's what they do. And the Christians are like junior Jews. And they've invented this deity who is really Yahweh tracks back to Baal, actually. And he's really an evil guy. All three of those archontic religions stress murdering the opposition. And it's like, we need to nourish the earth, not murder the opposition. So that's the direction I'm headed with. I don't have all the answers, but I'm a more peaceful guy than that.
You think that's right. Even true of Christianity, John?
Well, if you think about it, Jim, it's based on human sacrifice. People have covered this, okay? In other words, the whole idea about, you know, sacrificing Jesus. Jesus died for our sins and so on. You know, John's in good company. I don't make any conclusions one way or the other about this. I find it quite interesting how passionate some people are. And, you know, provided that they go about it the right way. But there's plenty of people. It's very compelling research that shows that what John is, you know, shall we say, mentioning here. I don't think he's so much championing this idea, but I believe that it's, you know, got a lot of solid basis. Is that they started? Look, all the people that wrote the Bible, I mean, Paul and Saul, the timelines involved. There's a lot of people online. You can read it. You can listen to their video and audio presentations about it. And there's just a lot of very questionable things about the whole Christian narrative.
Paul, let me
narrative.
Tell you something, Paul.
Okay.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I have to tell you something. Jesus, the apostles, all of those people in the Christian corpus don't exist in empirical history. There's no mention of them. The mentions of them are what's the word I'm looking for? Specious. They're not real. Now it's like I'm working on a story on Apollonius of Tyana, who lived at the same time Jesus supposedly did. And he was a real person. He debated Roman emperors. He went to India. He went into deepest, darkest Africa. And he taught people how to live. First of all, he taught people how to practice their own religions more perfectly. And he taught them how to live their lives, not to spend all their time thinking about what's going to happen to them when they die. Because the fact of the matter is, when you die, you got nothing to worry about.
Well, you're not going to worry anymore, that's for sure. Yes. Paul, go ahead.
Right. No. So when I dabbled in this, and I'll admit, you know, right off the bat that I have only just dabbled into this topic. In other words, you know, maybe a few hours here and there. I don't have the sort of time into it that I have on all the other topics that I've spoken about on your show, Jim. So, for example, sampling the works on this. But it did trouble me right off the bat when more than one person was claiming that there was no contemporary writings about these people until well after the fact. So in other words, at the time that supposedly Jesus existed and then he did all these amazing, miraculous things and the time that he was crucified and rose from the dead, so on and so forth, that there was no contemporary references for that, even though there were contemporary historians. And that it only came along after the fact, very similar, suspiciously similar to the whole Holocaust myth that came way after the fact, way after World War II. So it's sort of like, okay, is there an analogy to be drawn? Perhaps. But far more important to me is this. I don't deny there's a spiritual component to life. When you think about our emotions, okay, these are not tangible in terms of actually physical things that we can examine, but they're all real. In other words, we've all felt a sense of loss. We've felt a sense of joy and happiness. We felt all sorts of emotions. And in my opinion, this is part of our spiritual existence as well as other things. But what I think these people want us to do is be living out there what I call in pie-in-the-sky reality, and as opposed to dealing with them here on the ground in this physical reality, because I've had so many, moments where I've heard people on podcasts and other such things and videos talk about the, quote, spiritual battle, and it just drives me crazy, because whenever I hear the word spiritual battle, that does two things to a lot of people. It makes them want to just sit back and be spectators. And also I translate the word spiritual into pretend or imaginary. When you say the word, oh, it's a spiritual battle, it's then an imaginary battle or a pretend battle. Because when I went through my Catholic upbringing, I don't know what John, how he was brought up, but I was brought up Catholic. I went to church. I went to catechism. I went to confession. I did Stations of the Cross, you know, all this stuff. And I was pretending. That's all you're doing is you're pretending, okay? And it doesn't mean that it maybe isn't true or that there's some aspects of it that aren't true. Maybe there are, but in the end, it's pretending. And that's the problem I have with these Christians and these people that go off on all this crap about, oh, the history and the Jews and so on. Look, the book on these people has been written already. I mean, Martin Luther wrote a book called The Jews and Their Lies. What else do you need?
Yes.
I mean, he put in there.
I reviewed
don't
it.
Go to
yes.
a Jewish, yeah, don't go to a Jewish doctor because they'll poison you. So, I mean, but we haven't learned anything from this. That's a frustrating thing for me. Thanks for hearing my little rambling rant there.
Yeah, that was good. Paul, you need to send me an email so you can get on my list. I write at the end of all the end of my stories. I've been using it for 15 years. John Kaminsky is a writer who lives on the Gulf Coast of Florida, constantly trying to figure out why we are destroying ourselves and pinpointing a corrupt belief system as the engine of our demise. And that corrupt belief system is the archontic religion of Jews, Christians, and Muslims, all invented by the Jews, starting with Akhenaten in Egypt. Although I did get a note from a guy the other day who seems to be able to track it back to Sargon of Akkad, and that's where Abraham came from. So I'm investigating that a little further. But we have to pay attention to life and stop worrying about death, because we're going to die. It's a good system. It's a really good system that God has invented, that we die, because it prevents us from becoming tyrants, and it impels us to care for other people.
Hey, a final thought, Paul, before we have to part, and then John, Paul, your final thought.
No, that was what John just started out there. That was a nice little bit of prose, and yeah, no, I agree completely for the most part of what has been said, and we all have to deal in reality. As I made this comment many times on different calls and also as a guest or a co-host on shows, where I said, look, if you're in a parking lot late at night, okay, and you're being approached with malevolence by two or three very suspicious looking, males, and you got a Bible in one hand and a history book in the other hand, you better drop those on the ground if you want to live. And
that's right.
You know, this is what we have to do.
Well, I think we have a situation with. Sorry,
go ahead, John. No, it's your final thought.
We have a situation with the Jews where we have to deal with them. We can't reason with them, and they've infected the whole world with their profit strategy. And it's like people can be bribed, and as long as they can be bribed, they're really of no help to creating justice in the world.
Well, John Kaminsky, I can't thank you enough for being my guest here today. It was just wonderful having you here, my friend. And I just welcome everyone. Really, spend as much time as you can with your friends, neighbor, family, the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, John. Wonderful.
Thank you, Paul.